In a logo, clouds swirl in a blue sky. The letters WB appear in a golden shield. Warner Home Video. In another logo, the golden letters WB are inscribed on a shield set against puffy clouds. Warner Brothers Pictures, a Warner Communications company. In a bedroom, diffused sunlight falls through a window covered by sheer curtains. An elderly woman faces us as if looking in a mirror and fixes a hat with a pink band on her head. She wears a floral print dress with three-quarter length sleeves and carries a white purse on her arm. Words appear on screen, a Zanuck Company production. Now, downstairs, the woman passes through a kitchen.
Yes, ma'am?
The maid in a plain gray uniform polishes a silver dish. Titles appear. Morgan Freeman as Hope Colburn, Jessica Tandy as Daisy Worthen, and Dan Aykroyd as Bully Worthen. Outside, the genteel woman strides to a garage and gets into a large black car with rounded fenders and an oval-shaped rear window. Sitting low behind the big steering wheel, she turns the key in the ignition with a white-gloved hand, then shifts the car into gear. She backs out into the driveway. Suddenly, she presses down on the gas pedal. Her eyes widen as she speeds backward toward a low embankment. She shifts to another gear, but the car doesn't slow down. In the kitchen, Idella looks up from her work and sees the car teetering on the embankment, its rear end cantilevered over the neighbor's garden. In the car, the stunned woman releases her grip on the wheel and straightens her hat. She gets out and stares at the vehicle, her mouth agape. Idella puts down her work and runs out of the house.
You all right, Miss Daisy?
The black Chrysler slides over the wall. A title appears, Driving Miss Daisy. Later, on the sidewalk, two children sit beside an old man in a straw fedora, watching as the car is hoisted back up to the driveway.
That's good.
In the driveway, a man in light blue coveralls operates a winch on a tow truck. A portly man in a suit and white hat talks to another man standing beside a shiny blue-black sedan. Next door, a black maid carries a tray of iced tea to two ladies observing the spectacle. More titles. Patty LuPone as Florine Worthen. Esther Roll as Idella. From her bedroom window, the elderly Miss Daisy peers down at the two men in suits. The portly one gestures to her car, then plants his hands on his hips and shakes his head. Titles continue. Music composed by Hans Zimmer. Executive producer David Brown. Screenplay by Alfred Uri, based on his play. Produced by Richard D. Zanuck and Lily Finney Zanuck. Directed by Bruce Beresford. Later, in the kitchen, the portly man eats with a napkin tucked in his collar.
Mama?
No.
Mama?
No.
You know, it's a miracle you're not laying at Emory Hospital, or decked out at the funeral parlor.
He opens the door to the large pantry.
Cucumbers are pretty this summer.
Look at you. You didn't even break your glasses.
It was the car's fault.
Mama, you had the car in the wrong gear.
I did not. Idella, you want a pickle with your lunch?
Not me.
Well, I'm putting up a jar for you to take home to William, you hear?
Yeah, sir.
You backed the car right into the Pollock's yard.
You should have let me keep my LaSalle. It never would have behaved this way, and you know it.
Mama, cars don't behave. They are behaved upon. Fact is, you demolished that Chrysler all by yourself.
Think what you want. I know the truth.
Well, the truth is, you just cost the insurance company $2,700. You're a terrible risk. Nobody's going to want to issue a policy after this.
You're just saying that to be hateful.
Okay. Yes, I am. I'm making it all up. Look out down the driveway. Every insurance company in America's out there waving their fountain pens trying to get you to sign up.
If you're going to stand in my pantry and lie like a rug, I think it's time for you to go somewhere else.
Okay. I better get back to the office. Florine will be having a fit if I don't get home on time tonight.
You all must have plans tonight.
Going to the Angelus for a dinner party.
This is her idea, heaven on earth, isn't it?
What?
Socializing with Episcopalians.
He shakes his head as he buttons his double-breasted jacket.
You're a doodle, Mama. I'll stop by tomorrow evening.
How do you know I'll be here? I'm certainly not dependent on you for company.
Fine, I'll call first. But you know, we have got some real serious talking to do.
No.
Mama?
After the ball is over, after the break of morn.
He watches her dig pickles from the jar, then gives up and leaves.
After the morn, many a heart is aching.
She peeks around and sees that the coast is clear. The next morning, in her bedroom, Miss Daisy draws back the lace curtain and gazes out at the yard and the street beyond. A yellow car glides past. Later, Idella polishes the dining room table while Miss Daisy uses the phone in the foyer.
Well, I need you now. I have to be at the beauty shop in half an hour. No, I most certainly did not know you had to call a minimum of 2 hours ahead. I don't know why you call yourself a taxicab company if you can't provide taxicabs.
You call your son down at the mill, he sends somebody to carry you.
That won't be necessary. I'll cancel the appointment and fix my own hair.
Sometimes I think you ain't got the sense God gave a lemon.
Now, Miss Daisy and three friends.
Two dots. I want that. Oh! And five bamboo.
Well, this is not my day for Mahjong. That's easy to see.
Nine bam.
I have to thank you all for coming here again. I'm a real pariah without my car.
Oh, nonsense.
Three bam.
When are you getting your new one?
I don't know. Bully's being real pokey about it.
Don't worry, sugar. I'll come after you for temple tomorrow.
Oh, that's sweet of you, honey.
Later at Miss Daisy's grand brick house.
Hey, Mama, you there?
Hey, Mother Weston.
It's just us.
Why didn't you call?
Can't stay.
So I gather.
Miller's are giving a hayride for the anniversary.
I have these made. Doesn't your baby look cute?
Well, it's not exactly the word I'd pick.
Bully wears a cowboy outfit.
New Graham Greene, huh? I've been wanting to read that.
Well, I'm sorry, I can't lend it to you. It's due back at the library tomorrow.
Want me to return it for you?
No, thank you. I will go to the library on the streetcar.
Damn it, Mama. Would you quit being so stubborn? You know perfectly well we're
going to... Go on now. Go on. You don't want to keep the horses waiting.
Bye.
Bye.
Bully presses his lips together and eyes his mother sternly on his way out. She rolls her eyes. Daytime. A sign on a factory building reads, Worthen Bag and Cotton Company.
Is that door making contact?
Try the cable.
Inside, workmen crowd around an elevator shaft.
Excuse
me. Oscar?
Yes, sir. Here I am.
Are you all right?
No, sir. I'm stuck.
I know. Fiddle with the lever.
It all fiddled out. I've done everything I know how.
A man in a suit ambles in.
Call Bell Elevator, Mr. Clutch.
I already did. Now, they're backed up, but they'll be here round one.
One? Did you tell them it's an emergency?
Well, you don't have to holler at me, Mr. Worthen. I didn't break the elevator.
You got that stuff for Davis and Paxson up there?
Wrapped and ready to go.
I told them they'd have it yesterday. Call Bell again.
The man in the suit eyes the elevator shaft.
Oscar! Oscar!
Yeah, I hear you.
Look up there where the gate's supposed to close. There's a little doohickey hanging down there.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Right here.
Reach up and mash on it. Mash it up till it catch.
I done it. Now what?
Operate the lever.
The man in the suit smiles as the elevator lowers Oscar into view. Bully wrinkles his brow, then turns with his hands in his pockets to the stranger.
Hey, excuse me, do you work here?
No, sir. This here, Hope.
Hope Colvin, sir. How'd you know about the elevator?
Oh, I used to drive for the Avondale Dairy, sir. They had an old sorry elevator, wasn't this one here?
Don't you remember, Hope, the one I told you about?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Bully walks away. Hope shrugs at Oscar, who gestures toward Bully. Hope hurries after him with his hat in his hand. They follow a hall lined with cotton bales, then go upstairs.
Excuse me, sir. Mm-hmm. Y'all people is Jewish, ain't you?
Yes, we are. Why'd you ask?
Well, to tell you the truth, sir, I'd rather watch the Jews. Oh, I know folks say they're stingy and cheap one thing or another, but don't be saying none of that around me.
Good to know you feel that way.
Oh, yes.
Booley slides open an iron door to a room full of identical machines. At each mechanical loom, yards of cloth wind onto spools. A woman checks one machine. Booley passes through the room with his hands in the pockets of his gray double-breasted suit. Behind him, Hope looks down the long rows.
What was your next job?
I went to work for Judge Hal Stone. He's another Jewish gentleman like yourself, sir.
You drove for Judge Stone?
7 years to the day nearby. I'd still be there if he didn't up and die. Then Miss Stone asked me to move down to Savannah with her. Of course, my wife was dead by then, you know. But I said, no, thank you, ma'am. Well, see, I didn't want to be too far away from my grandbaby, see?
Judge Stone was a friend of my father's.
You don't say.
Have a seat.
Thank you, sir.
Later, Miss McClatchy.
The secretary eyes Hoke.
Oscar said you needed somebody to drive for your family. Well, now, what am I going to be doing? Taking your children to school and running your wife to the beauty parlor and all?
I don't have any children.
Oh, that's a
really
shame.
Of
course not. You still a young man, sir. I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Thank you. I won't.
Yes.
Hoke, what I'm looking for is somebody to drive my mother around.
Your mother?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, you don't mind my asking, sir. How come she ain't hiring for herself?
Booley leans back in his chair.
Well, it's a difficult situation.
Oh, yes, sir. Says she done gone round the bend a little bit. Well, now, that'll happen as they get on, you know.
Oh, no, she's all there.
Oh, that's good.
Too much there's the problem. Hoke, I want you to understand something.
Yes, sir?
My mother's a little high-strung. Now, the fact is, you'd be working for me. She can say anything she likes, but she can't fire you. You understand?
Yes, sir. Yes, I sure do. And don't you worry nothing about it, Mr. Wilson. I might hold on, never mind what way she run me. I remember when I was a little boy, back down there on the farm above Macon where I come from, I used to wrestle hogs to the ground during killing time. Well, sir, ain't that hog got away from me yet.
Booley nods slowly. Now, in Booley's car, Hoke sits in the passenger seat wearing a gray suit, bow tie, and straw hat, while Booley drives, frowning distractedly. The shiny sedan reflects a pattern of leaves and sunlight as it motors down the tree-covered street. Booley parks in the driveway behind his mother's house. From an upstairs window, Miss Daisy spies on the two men. Pausing to button his suit jacket, Booley leads Hoke to the back door. Hoke takes off his hat, revealing his short, peppery gray hair, then casts an upward glance at the house. At the window, Miss Daisy turns away with a huff. Downstairs, Booley and Hoke pass through the kitchen and into the house. Hoke follows Booley into the dining room.
How are you, Idella?
Living.
Where's that new vacuum cleaner I brought over here?
In the closet.
She won't touch it.
I would if it didn't give me a shock every time I come near.
It works for me.
Good. Then you clean and I go down and run your office.
Where's Mama?
Up yonder.
I guess you know who this is. I'll be right back, Hoke.
Yes.
Pushing a carpet sweeper, Idella shakes her head.
I wouldn't be in your shoes if the sweet Lord Jesus come down and asked me himself.
Hoke glances at the stairs. Upstairs, Booley opens the door to his mother's room and passes two neatly made twin beds.
Morning, Mama.
She sits with her back to him at her desk. Resting a hand on her shoulder, he bends down and plants a kiss on her head. She continues writing.
All I'm asking is that you come down and say hello.
Now, you listen here. Unless they rewrote the Constitution and didn't tell me, I still have rights.
Of course you do.
What I do not want, and absolutely will not have, is some chauffeur sitting in my kitchen, gobbling up my food, running up my phone bills. Oh, I hate all that in my house.
You have Idella.
Idella's different. She's been coming to me since you were in eighth grade, and we know how to stay out of each other's way. And even so, there are nicks and chips in my wedding china.
You think Idella has a personal vendetta against your wedding china?
Don't be sassy. On Forsyth Street, we couldn't afford them, and we did for ourselves. That's still the best way, if you ask me.
Them? Afford them? You sound like Governor Talmadge.
What? Booley, what a thing to say. I'm not prejudiced. Aren't you ashamed?
You might as well try to make the best of it, Mama.
He kisses her again and leaves. She tears a piece of paper from a pad and writes furiously with her fountain pen. Above the desk, books line a Queen Anne-style cabinet. The walls of the room are pale green, and a floral carpet stretches nearly wall to wall. Later, standing in the kitchen's swinging door, Hoke leans forward warily and looks down the hall. Taking a step, he peeks into the dining room, then casts a glance at the stairs. Outside, Hoke's reflection appears in the polished finish of a maroon car. He puts his hands on his hips. Later, at the kitchen table, Hoke flips through a newspaper.
The difference being over 15%. China. It appears that it is sites of battle is shaping up north of the capital city of Nanking. It is predicted to be the biggest clash of 1948.
Idella rolls out dough on the counter.
No, I know the Miss Idella once. Back down there in Macon.
Now say.
Could sing? What you talking about? I'm talking about this woman has some lungs. She'd have been a whole church choir by herself if they let her. I declare. Fat, too. Woman about big as that stove over you.
Hope points. The door swings open.
Don't talk to Idella. She has work to do.
Hoke slowly drops his hand. Later, he stands on a stepladder cleaning a chandelier with crystal pendants.
Here, what do you think you're doing?
I'm just dusting the bulbs, Miss Daisy.
That's the silliest thing I ever saw in my life. Who cares if lamp bulbs are dusty? Get down from there.
Yes.
And put that ladder away before somebody trips on it.
Yes.
That afternoon, Idella stands by the kitchen door wearing a hat.
I'm gone, Miss Daisy.
All right, Idella. See you tomorrow.
I'm gone too, Miss Daisy.
Good.
Hoke and Idella share a glance. Now, outside the house, Hoke stoops over a bed of bright orange and yellow flowers, digging carefully around them with a cultivator. Miss Daisy peers out a second floor window.
Morning, Miss Daisy. Thought I'd see you after your zinnias.
You leave my flower bed alone.
Yes. Well, you know, you got a nice piece of ground out there behind the garage. Ain't doing nothing but just sitting there. I could put you in some tomatoes, some butter beans. Some...
If I want a vegetable garden, I'll plant it myself.
Yes.
He stares as she shuts the window, his hands limp at his sides. On another day, Hoke stands at the bottom of the stairs examining an old photo of a grammar school class on the wall. He stares thoughtfully down his broad nose at the rows of boys with wide collars and girls in ruffled dresses. His head tilted back, he squints at the picture, gently pursing his lips. Miss Daisy appears on the stairs in a light blue checked dress. Seeing Hoke, she scowls.
What are you doing there?
I just love a house with pictures, Miss Daisy. You do make a home.
I don't want you nosing through my things.
She heads back up the stairs. Smiling to himself, Hoke shakes his head. Now, wearing a pink dress, Miss Daisy sits in the sun porch reading a newspaper.
Morning, Miss Daisy.
Good morning.
It was right cool in the night there, wasn't it?
I wouldn't know. I was asleep.
Yes. Idella said we're running short on coffee and Dutch cleanser.
We are?
Yes'm. We're low on silver polish, too.
Yes'm.
I know. I'm fixing to go to the Piggly Wiggly on the trolley.
On the trolley? Why didn't he let me carry you, Miss Daisy?
No, thank you.
Well, ain't that what Mr. Worthing done hire me for?
That's his problem.
Well, all right. I'm going to find something to do around here.
You leave my things alone.
She puts on her hat.
I'm gone to market, Idella.
Yes. Miss Daisy, now it's just a shame. You got this fine Hudson automobile sitting out there in the garage. Ain't moved an inch from when Mr. Worthing drove it over here from Central Motors. Seem like that insurance company doesn't give you a brand new car for nothing.
That's your opinion.
Yes. And my other opinion is, a fine, rich Jewish lady like yourself ain't got no business dragging herself up the steps of no trolley can, no grocery store bags. I might come along and count for you.
I don't need you. I don't want you. And I don't like you saying I'm rich.
Well, I won't say it no more.
Is that what you and I dare to talk about in the kitchen?
No, Miss Daisy, no.
I hate this. I hate being discussed behind my back in my own house. I was born on Forsyth Street, and believe you me, I know the value of a penny.
Yes.
My brother Manny brought home a white cat one day, and Papa said we couldn't keep it because we couldn't afford to feed it. My sister saved up money so I could go to school to be a teacher. We didn't have anything.
Yes. But you're doing all right now.
He gestures toward the house. She shoots him a withering glare. Later, Miss Daisy strides down the sidewalk with her white purse hanging from her forearm. The long maroon Hudson pulls up beside her and matches her pace. She glances at the car. Inside, Hope wears a black cap with a short bill. Miss Daisy stops.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to drive you to the stove.
Pressing her lips together, she storms ahead. A neighbor looks up from her gardening.
Where are you off to this morning, Miss Worthen?
Oh, just a little shopping. Go away. I've ridden the trolley with groceries plenty of times.
Yes, I know, Miss Daisy, but I can't keep taking Mr. Worthen's money for doing nothing.
How much did he pay you?
Nah, Miss Daisy, that's between him and me.
And then over $7 a week is robbery. Highway robbery.
Yes, and you sure right about that. Especially since I don't do nothing but sit in your kitchen on a stool all day.
She sees more neighbors watching.
All right. The Piggly Wiggly. Then home. Nowhere else.
Yeah.
She gets in the back seat. With a wingtip shoe, Hope depresses the gas pedal and the spotless white wall tires begin to roll. Miss Daisy sits primly on the opposite side of the car, knitting her brow. Hoke's cheeks bunch up in a smile.
Oh, I just love the smell of a new car. Don't you, Miss Daisy?
She glares at the back of Hoke's head.
I'm nobody's fool, Hope.
Why, no.
My husband taught me to run a car.
Yes.
I remember everything he said. So don't you think even for a second that you... Now, wait. You're speeding. I can see it.
Oh, no, Miss Daisy, no. We're only doing about 19 miles an hour.
I like to go under the speed limit.
Yes, but the speed limit's 35, yeah.
The slower you go, the more you save on gas. My husband taught me that.
He ain't hardly moving. Might as well walk to the Piggly Wiggly.
Is this your car?
No.
Do you pay for the gas?
No.
All right, then. My fine son may think I'm losing my abilities, but I'm still in control of what goes on in my car.
Yes.
She looks out the window.
Where are you going?
Taking it to the store, ma'am, like you said.
Well, why didn't you turn on Highland Avenue?
Pig Wiggly ain't on Highland Avenue.
I know
Avenue,
where it is, and I want to go the way I always go, on Highland Avenue.
Oh, but that's three blocks out the way, Miss
Go
Daisy.
Back. Go back this minute.
Well, I can't turn around now.
Go back, I said. I've been driving to the Piggly Wiggly since they put it up and opened it for business.
Yeah,
this isn't the way.
Yes, Miss Daisy.
Go back. Go back this minute.
Miss Daisy, look. Yonder the Piggly Wiggly. See?
Get ready to turn.
Yes.
Hoke's face tightens as he turns into the lot next to the grocery store.
Look out, there's a little girl behind that car.
Yes, I see her.
Pull in right here.
Yes.
They park in front of a bright mural advertising Coca-Cola. Hoke steps from the driver's seat and takes off his hat.
Wait a minute. Give me the keys.
Yes.
He reaches through the window, takes the keys from the ignition, and hands them to her.
You stay right here by the car.
Yes.
And you don't have to go telling everybody my business.
Oh, no.
Wearing white gloves, Miss Daisy walks to the door. Hoke shifts his weight from foot to foot. At the payphone in front of the store, Hoke steps into the wood-framed booth and drops a coin into the phone. He steps back to read the numbers on the phone, leaning completely out of the booth as he drags the rotary dial around with his finger.
Hear
Worthing? Yes, it's me. Guess where I'm at? I just drove your mama to the store. Oh, you know, she flap around some, but she all right. She in the store. Oh, Lord, she just looked out the window and seen me on the phone, so she probably gonna throw a fit right there at the checkout counter. Yeah, sir, you sure right about that. Only took me 6 days. Same time it took the law to make the world. Yeah, sir, all right. Bye now.
Later at Miss Daisy's, an old truck sits in the driveway with its back doors open. In the house, Oscar and another workman pull a slipcover off a couch.
Hey there, Oscar, Junior. How y'all boys doing today?
How the old lady been treating you, Hoke?
Oh, man, I tell you one thing. She know how to throw a fit.
Miss Daisy appears at the door.
What's so funny?
Why, nothing, Miss Daisy. We just scaring on.
Oscar and Junior have been doing my floor cleaning for 15 years. They never carried on before. You leave them alone.
Yes.
And put your coat on. We're late.
Yes, be right there.
Adela, I'm gone now.
Yes.
All right, behind her, Adela.
Later at Temple.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Outside, Hoke uses a cloth to polish the Hudson, parked right in front of the temple. Behind him, three other black chauffeurs socialize. Inside, teenaged girls wearing T-length skirts and bobby socks fill the front pew, and teenaged boys fill the next. Behind them, about 20 worshippers are scattered through the domed room. In a pew with her mahjong friends, Miss Daisy wears a royal blue dress and a mink stole. Her gray hair is pinned in a neat bun at the back of her neck. Each of the women wears a stylish hat. After the service, the rabbi shakes hands at the door.
You got your hands full there. Good job.
He kisses Miss Daisy on the cheek.
Good job, sir. Nice to see you.
Such a nice man. He's
a good sharp servant.
Her smile disappears. At the bottom of the stairs, Hoke stands beside the car, grinning. Her friends stare as she hurries off.
I'll get myself in. Hurry up out here.
Yeah.
She slips into the enormous car. Hoke shuts the door and hurries around to the driver's side, then drives away. Later, he glances in the rearview mirror at Miss Daisy, who stares straight ahead.
Something wrong back there, Miss Daisy?
No.
Something I done?
No. Yes.
Miss Daisy, I ain't done nothing.
You had the car parked right in front of the front door of the temple like I was the Queen of Romania. Everybody saw you. Didn't I tell you to wait for me in the back?
Well, yes, but I was just trying to... Well, there's two other chauffeurs right behind me there.
You made me look like a fool. A G.D. fool.
Oh, Miss Daisy. Lord knows you ain't no fool.
Slow down. Miriam and Beulah and them, I could see what they were thinking when we came out of services.
What's that?
But I was trying to pretend I was rich.
Well, you is rich, Miss Daisy.
No, I'm not. And nobody can say I put on airs. On Forsyth Street, we made many a meal off of grits and gravy. I've done without plenty of times, I can tell you.
Miss Daisy, if I was to ever get my hands on what you got, I'd be shaking it around for everybody in the world to see.
That's vulgar. Don't talk to me.
Never gonna understand some way.
What? What was that? I heard that.
Now, Miss Daisy, you needs a chauffeur. Lord knows I needs a job. So why don't we just leave it like that?
Miss Daisy stares ahead, drawing her lips tight. Now, an early morning mist wraps around the house. Inside, Miss Daisy goes to the dining room in her robe and opens a drawer in the sideboard. She thumbs through small piles of folded linens, then shuts the drawer. Wearing a preoccupied frown, she rests her hand on the sideboard for a moment, then turns to the kitchen. Miss Daisy walks in and turns on a light with a pull switch. Her eyes narrow as they scan slowly back and forth, then settle on something. With a grim smile, she nods. Now Bully, dressed for work, wipes his mouth with a white napkin as he goes to the phone in the hallway.
Hello. Good morning, Mama. What's the matter?
In the dining room, Florine sighs.
No, I don't always think something's the matter when you call. It's just when you call so early in the morning.
What? All right, I'll be there as soon as I can.
Smoking a cigarette, Florine taps one of her long red nails on the table.
I guess I'd better get on over there.
Fine.
Come on, honey.
It's not healthy for you to rush like this in the morning.
I eat too much anyway. And besides, sounds like she needs me.
When doesn't it? Give Mother Wortham my love.
Bye.
Bye.
A young maid peeks in the door.
Coffee again now.
Florine flips through a magazine. Later, Miss Daisy, still in her robe, looks out her kitchen window at the driveway.
I didn't expect to find you in one piece.
I wanted you to be here when he comes. I wanted you to hear it for yourself.
Hear what? What's going on?
He's stealing from me.
Hoke, are you sure?
I don't make empty accusations. I have proof.
What proof?
This! I found this hidden in the garbage pail under some coffee grounds.
A tin can.
You mean he stole a can of salmon?
Well, here it is. Oh, I knew. I knew there was something funny. They all take things, you know. So I counted.
You counted?
Well, the silverware first, and then the linen dinner napkins, and then I went into the pantry. And the first thing that caught my eye was a hole behind the line of beans. And I knew right away.
She points at the shelf.
There were only 8 cans of salmon. I had 9, 3 for a dollar on sale.
Well, very clever, Mama. You made me miss my breakfast and be late to a meeting at the bank, all for a 33-cent can of salmon. Here, you want 33 cents? Here's a dollar. Here's $10. Go ahead, buy yourself a whole pantry full of salmon.
Why, Bully, the idea of waving money at me like I don't know what. I don't want the money. I want my things.
1 can of salmon.
Well, it was mine. I leave him plenty of food every day. And I always tell him exactly what it is. They're like having children in the house. They want something, they just take it. Oh, he'll never admit this. No, Mummy, he'll say, I don't know nothing about that. And I don't like it. I don't like living this way. I have no privacy.
He snacks from the fridge.
Mama.
Oh, go ahead. Defend him. You always do.
All right, I give up. You want to drive yourself again? Go ahead and arrange it with the insurance company. Take your blessed trolley. Buy yourself a taxi cab. Anything you want. Just leave me out of it.
Why, Bully.
Outside, Idella and Hoke walk toward the kitchen door. Hoke eyes Bully's car.
Now, what in the world you reckon he doing here this time of morning?
Can't be good, I promise you that.
In the kitchen, Bully leans back against a counter holding his hat. Eyebrows raised, he glances at his mother. She looks away, biting her lip.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Miss Daisy. You know I think it's fixing to clear up out there? Oh, excuse me, Miss Worthy. Y'all busy?
I'm afraid we have to have a little talk, Hope.
All right, sir. Just let me get out of my coat. I'll be right back.
Miss Daisy purses her lips.
Miss Daisy, yesterday while you was out visiting, I went and ate a can of your salmon. Now, I know you said eat the leftover pork chops, but, well, they was kind of stiff. So I stopped by the Piggly Wiggly this morning, and I got you another can. You want me to just go and put it in the pantry here?
Yes, thank you, Hulk.
Yes, I'll be right with you, Mr. Williams.
Bully nods and sighs.
Well, I've got to get dressed now. Bye, son.
She plops the empty salmon can into Bully's hand and leaves through the swinging door. Bully glances at the can, then checks his watch and rushes out the back door. Now, a dark, graceful branch reaches skyward, laced with white blossoms. Pink-petaled flowers tip the spindly branches of a dogwood tree. Dense ivy blankets a gentle slope in front of Miss Daisy's house, and patches of bright flowers border the well-tended lawn. In the sun porch, Miss Daisy sits on the wicker couch beside a Philco radio. She draws a thread through the front of a piece of needlework, then casts a glance at the radio and shakes her head, smiling. Hoke passes the door to the sun porch and peeks in at Miss Daisy, preoccupied with her work. Grinning to himself, he moves on. Now at a cemetery, Hoke polishes the rounded trunk under the Hudson's Georgia license plate. Looking up, he squints at the top of a grassy hill where Miss Daisy kneels in front of a headstone. Hoke climbs the hill along the row of markers. At one, reading Worthen, Miss Daisy holds a small flowering plant by its roots. With long strides, Hoke reaches her and takes off his black cap.
You know, Miss Daisy, I was just thinking. Here we done been out this cemetery 3 times this month already. They ain't even the 20th yet.
It's good to come in nice weather.
No, Harrison, you sure right about that. Sure will. Mr. Sieg's grave is mighty well tended. You know, I think you the best widow in the state of Georgia.
Foolish owners pestering me to have the staff out here tend to this plot.
Mm-hmm.
Perpetual care, they call it.
Yes. Well, don't you do it. No, it's right to have a member of the family looking after you.
Oh, I'll certainly never have that.
Hmm?
Booley will have me in perpetual care before I'm cold.
Miss Daisy, you ought to go on with me.
Hulk,
yes.
Put that azalea on Leo Bauer's grave.
All right. Leo Bauer. That Miss Rose Bauer's
her. Right. She asked me to bring it out here for her.
All right. Well, where is grave at, Miss Daisy?
I'm not exactly sure. I know it's 2 rows over that way. You'll see the headstone, Bauer.
He doesn't move. Miss Daisy glances up at him.
But what's the matter?
Hmm? Oh, nothing wrong. Nothing mad at all.
He scans the rows of marble stones, some topped by a Star of David.
Now, Miss Daisy, you said...
I told you, it's 2 rows over that way. It says Bauer on the headstone.
Bauer, yes. Now, what'd that look like, Miss Daisy?
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about I can't read, ma'am.
What?
I can't read, Miss Daisy.
Then how come I see you looking at the paper all the time?
Well, that's just it. I just be looking. Well, I kind of dope out what's going on from the pictures sometimes.
You know your letters, don't you?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I know my ABC is pretty good. I just can't read.
Stop saying that. You're making me mad. If you know your letters, then you can read. You just don't know you can read.
Ma'am?
I taught some of the stupidest children God ever put on the face of this earth, and all of them could read well enough to find a name on the tombstone.
Well, yes, Miss Guy.
The name is Bauer.
Yes, ma'am.
Bauer. What does that B letter sound like?
B?
Of course. That's the last part. Bauer. What letter sounds like R?
Aura.
So the first letter is a
B?
And the last letter is a
Aura.
B-R. B-R, B-R, even sounds like Bauer, doesn't it?
It sure do, Miss Daisy. It sure do. That it?
That's it.
We ain't gonna worry about what come in the middle.
No, not right now. That'll be enough for you to find it. Go on now.
Yes, all right.
As he sets off, Miss Daisy kneels again at her husband's grave. The sun glares off the white markers, some with Hebrew inscriptions above the name. Hoke works down one row, stepping from one stone to the next. On each, a name is carved in bold block letters.
B to begin in. R and E. B to begin in. R and E. B to begin in.
He stoops down at one grave, his shadow falling across the name Bauer.
B. Ara, as she is, that's all right.
Watching him, Miss Daisy smiles, then acts busy as Hope walks back toward her.
Miss Daisy?
Yes?
I sure do appreciate this.
Don't be ridiculous. I didn't do anything.
Well, no.
Let's get all this back in the car.
All right.
I'm burning up out
here. Yes. Here we go.
Hope picks up Miss Daisy's blanket and tray of gardening tools and follows her back down the hill. At Bully's house, a greeting card on a table reads, "So long, 1953. Bully sits on a couch turning over record albums. First, Mario Lanza, then Bing Crosby's Christmas Greetings.
Of course I told you. Yes, ma'am. Of course I told you. Now, happy holidays, Mr. Biden. You don't want it now.
He takes a swig of Coke and casts a worried glance toward the kitchen.
I'll be right there, honey.
Do you have any idea what it takes to give a Christmas reception? Do you?
Christmas cards cover every surface in the modern den.
I told you a million times, Katie Bell. Write it down.
Yes.
More I cannot do. We're out of coconut.
I'm sure we'll be able to manage, Katie Bell.
I told her. But you didn't write it down. Now, I don't need to stand around and listen to excuses on Christmas Day. Maybe you can figure out how to serve ambrosia to 50 people without coconut. I give up.
Florine storms out of her bright yellow and aqua blue kitchen.
Don't worry, Katie Bell. It isn't quite the end of the world.
The young black woman gazes hopelessly at the crowded countertop. Later, Hoke drives Miss Daisy through an upscale neighborhood, past houses decked with colored lights.
Everybody's giving the Georgia Power Company a Merry Christmas.
Bet Miss Florine got them all beat with them lights, especially with the new house.
Absurd. If I had a nose like Florine, I wouldn't go around saying Merry Christmas to anybody.
Of course, though, you know, Miss Daisy, I really do enjoy a Christmas at their house.
I don't wonder you're the only Christian in the place.
Well, they got that new cook. Oh,
Florine never could keep help. Of course, none of my affair.
No.
Too much running around, if you ask me. The garden club this, the junior league that, as if any one of them would give her the time of day. But she'd die before she'd fix a glass of iced tea for the Temple sisterhood.
Yeah.
I just hope she doesn't take it into her head to sing this year.
Around the corner, a life-sized Santa sits in a sleigh covered with lights.
Lord have mercy. Look what Miss Florine done.
If her grandfather, old man Frytag, could see this, what is it you say? I bet he'd jump up out of his grave and snatch her bald head.
They pull into the circular driveway in front of a massive white plantation-style house.
Jump up and snatch her bald head.
He opens the back door for Miss Daisy, then ushers her up the front steps, holding her elbow. She turns to him with a small package.
Wait a minute. Hmm? This isn't a Christmas present.
No.
You know I don't give Christmas presents.
Yes.
I just happened to run across it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go on, open it up.
He unties the string around the flat package, then folds back the brown paper, revealing a booklet.
Well, look at that. Ain't nobody never given that book before, Miss Daisy. Zena Method Writing.
I always taught out of these. I saved a few. Mm-hmm. It's faded, but it works.
Yes.
If you practice, you'll write nicely.
Yes.
But you have to practice.
Oh, yes.
I taught Mayor Hartsfield out of this same book.
I sure do thank you, Miss Daisy.
It's not a Christmas present.
Oh, no.
Jews haven't any business giving Christmas presents.
Yes.
And you don't have to go yapping about this to Bully or Florine.
No, no, no. This is between you and me.
Merry Christmas, Mother Worthen.
I hope I don't spit up.
Merry Christmas, Mama. Hope.
Yes.
Florine holds her arms out to Miss Daisy and kisses her. Miss Daisy walks stiffly past in her fur-trimmed wool coat. Outside, Hope watches Florine shut the double front door. Now, at Miss Daisy's house, Idella works in the kitchen coating pieces of chicken in flour. Warm yellow light comes through the open windows and washes across the checkerboard floor. Upstairs at her desk, Miss Daisy seals an envelope and puts it aside. Meanwhile, the maroon Hudson turns into the driveway of a Cadillac dealership, Century Motors. Uli and Hope, both wearing fedoras, walk into the showroom. Hope wears a tan suit with high-waisted trousers and a short tie.
You know, she fought me on this one.
Yeah, sir.
But it's time for a trade. I bet both of you'll miss the old one, though.
No, sir. I don't expect I'm going to miss it all that much.
Oh, come on. You're the only one who's been driving it all this time. Aren't you going to be a little sorry to see it go?
Oh, it ain't going nowhere. I done bought it.
You didn't?
Yes, sir. I sure did. Already made the deal with Mr. Red Mitchell.
For how much?
No. Well, that's for him and me to know.
Hey, Willie. Got a jam here. You got that payment for me, Hope?
Oh, yes, sir. Got it right here.
Go right in there, Red. For God's sakes, why didn't you just buy it directly from Mama? You would have saved money.
No, sir. Your Mama and my business enough as it is. I ain't studying about making no monthly car payments to her. No, sir. She mind the regular way.
Hey, Hudson's a good car. I guess nobody knows that better than you.
Best ever come off the line. And it's your new one. Miss Daisy don't take to it. Why, I'm going to let her ride in this one from time to time.
Mighty nice of you.
Well, you know, we do what we can.
Now, at Miss Daisy's house, a neatly packed suitcase sits open on a bed. Miss Daisy, wearing a blue suit and a small hat with a net veil, glances at her watch. Sighing anxiously, she peers through the Venetian blinds to the yard and quiet street below. Then she takes short, quick steps across the room and shuts her suitcase and a vanity case beside it. Miss Daisy lugs the tan suitcase downstairs and out to the garage, where the rear end of a black Cadillac juts out into the driveway. Later, in the kitchen, she tucks two peaches into a box lunch, then looks up at the electric clock on the wall, 7:03. Outside, she scurries toward the garage with the box lunch in one hand and a wrapped gift in the other. Hoke drives in just behind her in the Hudson.
It's 7:03.
Well, yes, sir. You said we was leaving at 15 to 8.
At the latest, I said.
Hoke carries a small valise.
Now, what business in the world you got dragging this mess out the house by yourself?
Who was here to help me?
Oh, Lord have mercy. It don't take more than 5 minutes to load up the trunk of this car. Now, you fixing to break both your arms and your legs before we even get out of Atlanta. You're taking on too much here, Miss Daisy. I
hate doing things at the last minute.
Oh, what you talking about? I've been packed and ready to go for the last week and a half. Here, give me that right there.
No, don't you touch that.
Well, it sure is pretty. Is that Mr. Walter's present there?
Yes, it's fragile. I'll put it on the seat with me.
All right. Morning, Mr. Worden.
Well, you nearly missed us.
I thought you were leaving at 4:15.
Oh, she's taking on.
Be still.
Booley holds a gift.
Lorene bought this for Uncle Walter. Well, Mama, it's not a snake. I think it's notepaper.
How appropriate. Uncle Walter can't see.
Maybe it's soap.
How nice that you take such an interest in your uncle's 90th birthday.
Don't start up with me, Mama. I cannot go to Mobile with you. I have to go to New York for the convention.
The convention starts Monday. And I know what else I know.
Now, just leave Florine out of it. She rode away 8 months ago for those tickets.
I'm sure my fair lady is more important than your own flesh and blood.
Mama.
Those Christians will be mighty impressed.
I can't talk to you when you're like this.
He signals for Hope to shut the door.
We're expected for a late supper in Mobile.
You'll be there.
Surely fix Crab all that trouble.
Don't mean nothing, Miss Worthing. She just worked up.
Here's $50 in case you run into trouble.
All right.
Don't show it to Mama. You got a map with you?
She got it in the back seat with her. Doesn't study it
in. It's 7:16.
You ought to have a job on the radio announcing the time.
I want to miss rush hour.
You will. Congratulate Uncle Walter for me and kiss everybody in Mobile.
Hope gets in the car.
Did you have the air condition check? I told you to have the air condition check.
Yes, I got the air condition check.
I don't know what for. You don't never allow me to turn it on.
Hush up.
Booley watches them go.
Goodbye. Good luck.
Good God.
Booley sets his hat high on his head. His lips curl up in an affectionate smile. Later, Polk and Miss Daisy drive downtown past shops and salons. Further ahead, at a railroad crossing, two older black men dressed in denim overalls amble across the tracks, carrying bag lunches. Later, Miss Daisy consults a map.
Turn left. Yeah. No, right. Turn right.
They veer onto a two-lane highway. They motor past fields of scrubby yellowish grass. Farther ahead, the highway gently dips and swells. The Cadillac, with its wide-set round headlights and mouth-like grille, appears over a rise. The chrome trim glints in the sun, and the grass at the roadside ripples gently as the luxury car glides past. Later, level golden fields stretch out on both sides of the road. Ahead, a small sign reads, "You are entering Alabama."
I ever tell you about the first time I leave the state of Georgia?
When was that?
A few minutes back.
Go on.
Yes. Now, my daughter, she's married to a Pullman porter, you know. She's always on the go. New York, Detroit, St. Louis. I say, well, now that's all well and good, Tommy Lee, but I just don't feel the need for it. So here it is. First time. And I might tell you, Miss Daisy, Alabama ain't looking like much so far.
Later, the road stretches toward a line of trees in the distance. Power lines run past a tiny house with a tin roof. On the other side of the road, the Cadillac is pulled over in the grass. Polk leans against the side of the car, enjoying a deviled egg. Sitting in the back seat with the door open, Miss Daisy dabs the corners of her mouth with a napkin and looks out over the hazy landscape. A pond mirrors the overcast sky. Polk crumples up a wax paper wrapping and hands it to Miss Daisy.
I tell her, sure do stuff very good.
You stuff yourself good.
Yes.
He finishes off a bottle of Coke. With a faraway gaze, Miss Daisy smiles.
I was thinking about the first time I ever went to Mobile. It was Walter's wedding.
1888. You were nothing but a little bitty thing.
I was 12.
Mm.
We went on the train. Oh, I was so excited. I'd never been in a wedding party. And I'd never seen the ocean. Papa said it was the Gulf of Mexico and not the ocean, but it was all the same to me. Yeah. I asked Papa if it was all right for me to dip my hand in the water. And he laughed because I was so timid. And then I tasted the salt water on my fingers. Mm.
Closing her eyes, she rolls her lips together.
Isn't that a silly thing to remember?
Ain't no silly in what most folks remember.
Hey, boy.
Yes, sir.
What do you think you're doing with this car?
This is my car, officer.
Yes, ma'am. Can I see your registration, please? Any license, boy?
Yes, sir.
The officer clasps his hands behind his back while his partner wanders around the front of the car. Both wear blue shirts and ties and have revolvers in their hip holsters.
What's his name? Wertheran?
Wertham.
Wertham. Never heard of that one before. What kind of name is that?
It's a German derivation.
German derivation. Mm-hmm.
He folds up the registration and gives it back to Hoke, then reads his license. Hoke watches him, then drops his gaze as the officer looks him over. Folding the license in half, he hands it back and turns to Miss Daisy with a smirk.
Thank you, ma'am.
The other officer tips his hat to Miss Daisy and they walk away. Hoke follows them with his eyes, then looks to Miss Daisy. She catches her breath, then gives a quick nod. As Hoke goes around to the driver's seat, Miss Daisy sits in the back with her chin raised and the corners of her mouth drawn downward. Settling his black cap atop his woolly gray hair, Hope glances worriedly in the rearview mirror, then drives over the scrubby grass and back onto the highway. The two officers lean against their white patrol car.
An old nigger and an old Jew woman taking off down the road together. That is one sorry sight.
Later, the road leads through golden fields. They pass a road sign beside another house with a sheet metal roof.
Oh, my God.
What?
That sign says Phoenix City, 30 miles. We're not supposed to go to Phoenix City. Oh, my God.
Well, maybe you read it wrong.
I didn't. Stop the car. Stop the car.
Oh, nice.
Hook stops in front of a house. In a dirt yard, chickens peck and scratch at the earth, and dogs wander around a muddy puddle. A black family sits on the porch.
Here. You took the wrong turn at Opelika.
Well, now, you took it with me, Miss Daisy. And you got the map.
I was getting a lunch. Go on back. Oh, my God.
Well, now, it ain't been more than 30 minutes since we turned.
She sits back and pulls off her glasses. Later, the pale setting sun flickers through rows of trees in an orchard. Hope gazes wearily at the road. In the back seat, Miss Daisy's head lolls. Her eyes flutter open and she wipes a handkerchief across her neck. At a gas station, an old man sits beside a Coke machine with a bottle on his knee. Standing at the gas pumps, Hope watches Miss Daisy leave the restroom, wiping her hands on her handkerchief. He opens the car door for her and the gas station attendant returns the hose to the pump. Nighttime, headlights from a passing car sweep across Miss Daisy's face.
Fix crab for me. And he always fixes crab. They go to so much trouble. It's all ruined by now.
We're gonna have to pull over, Miss Daisy.
Is something wrong with the car?
No, there ain't nothing wrong with the car. I got to be excused.
What?
I got to go make water.
You should have thought of that back at the service station.
I colored can't use the toilet at none of these service stations, Miss Daisy. You know that.
Well, there's no time to stop. We'll be in Mobile soon. You can wait.
Yes. No.
He pulls the car onto the shoulder.
I told you to wait.
Yes, I heard what you said.
He turns around in his seat.
Now, how you think I feel having to sit up here and ask you, can I go make water, like I'm some child?
I hope I'd be ashamed.
Well, I ain't no child, Miss Daisy. And I ain't just some back of the neck you look at while you going wherever you got to go. I'm a man. I'm here about 70 years old. And I know when my bladder's full. Now, I might get out this car and go on off back over yonder somewhere and do what I got to do. I might take the key with me, too. Now, that's all there is to it. Now.
He gets out and walks around the front of the car toward a line of trees at the roadside. Stars fill the inky black sky. With its red taillights glowing, the Cadillac sits near a lighted billboard advertising a car dealership. Miss Daisy, dwarfed by the car's spacious interior, sits with her shoulders drawn up. She darts a nervous look at the woods, then leans toward the window.
Hope!
She leans back again, her breathing short and fast. Lines furrow her brow.
Hope! Hope!
Gripping the door handle, Miss Daisy peers out into the dark. Suddenly, she stares at the window opposite hers. Resting his hand on the door, Hope peeks in at Miss Daisy, his eyes wide with concern.
You all right, Miss Daisy?
Of course I am.
Now, Bully sits on a hotel bed talking on the phone.
Hey, is that you, Slick? It's Bully. How you doing? Hey, congratulations on your dad's big day.
Thank you, Bully, thank you. And Daisy!
She scurries from a dining room decorated with streamers.
What?
It's Bully on the phone.
Hello. Hey, son. Uncle Ward appreciates your call. I don't think he'd come to the phone.
Fine. How's Hope?
What do you mean? How should he be?
A woman brings out a cake. Happy birthday,
Uncle Walter. Oh, I gotta hang up now. Yeah, I'll tell him. All right. Bye.
For he's a jolly good fellow, which nobody can deny.
Miss Daisy kisses the old man on the head. Grinning, he puffs out the candles on the birthday cake. In the kitchen door, Hope stands beside a black woman in a maid's uniform, smiling at the scene. Outside Booley's factory, men mix cement on the sidewalk. Beneath scaffolding, a new sign reads, Worthen Industries. Inside, Hope crosses the factory floor, passing rows of new machines topped with spools of thread. Outside Booley's office, his secretary uses a dictaphone. Hope appears at the door, wearing a tan suit, bow tie, and black glasses.
Morning, Ms. McClatchy.
Well, good morning to you.
Can I see him?
In Booley's office.
It's Mr. Sinclair Hare, sir.
My cousin Sinclair?
His wife.
Jeanette.
Wanting to talk funny?
She's from Canton, Ohio.
Yes. Well, she trying to hire me.
He snaps his lighter shut.
What?
Yes, sir. She asked me, she said, how they treating you down there, Hope? You know how she sound, like a nose all stuffed up. So I said, fine, Miss Hare, just fine, thank you, ma'am. She said, well, you looking for a change, you know who to call.
I'll be damned.
Yes, I just thought you ought to know about it.
I'll be goddamned.
Ain't she a mess? Said name your own salary.
Booley narrows his eyes, then smiles.
I see. Did ya?
Did it what, sir?
Name your salary.
The whole gone with ya, Miss Worthen. What you think I am? I ain't studying about going to work for no trash or something like her. No, sir.
But she got you thinking, didn't she?
Well, sir, you might say that.
Name your salary.
Yes, sir, that's exactly what you said.
Well, how does $65 a week sound?
Why? Sound pretty good, sir. Of course, sir. 75 sound better.
It sure does. Beginning this week.
That's mighty nice of you, Mr. Worthen. I sure appreciate it. Thank you.
Hoke stands.
Mr. Worthen?
Uh-huh.
You ever have folks fighting over you?
No.
It sure feel good.
Booley smiles fondly at Hoke as he leaves. At Miss Daisy's, the ladies play mahjong.
One dot.
Miss Daisy puts down a tile. Cigarette smoke wafts from Beulah's side of the table.
Nine dot.
Next, a woman with white hair and blue jewelry.
Two dot.
Mahjong.
Oh, you are the luckiest thing, Beulah.
Miss Daisy sighs.
Excuse me a second.
Miss Daisy leaves the living room and goes to the kitchen's swinging door. Idella, in a formal uniform, sits in front of a small TV shelling peas. Hoke sits at the table wearing a white jacket.
If you want to save time, the best thing you can do...
I don't know how you all can look at that.
See it a few times to get in it.
Both your brains are fixing to evaporate. You can bring the cake now, Hoke.
Yeah.
Don't make a mess with those peas, Idella.
Do I ever?
Lord, must look at that man. Ain't she got a lot of hair? Wonder how she can get it so shiny.
Washes it in mayonnaise.
Go on, wait. Yeah, Idella.
Yeah, she did. Read it in Life magazine.
Don't seem human, do it.
Still watching the soap, Hoke backs out the door carrying a tray. Idella empties peas into a colander, setting the pods on the table beside her. On the black and white television, a man in a suit and thin tie stands close to a woman with a blonde hairdo.
Easy way out, or else you go into that court and let Mr. Carr carve you into pathetic little bits. You've got about a minute to make up your mind.
Hoke returns with the tray.
What happened? You up with something, ain't she?
The colander falls from Idella's lap, scattering peas across the checkered floor.
Idella?
Hope's eyes widen.
Ivory Snow. Idella?
Now, at the Little Friendship Missionary Baptist Church, a choir wears gold robes with shiny red stoles.
Our sins and griefs to bear.
Idella's body lies in an open coffin at the front of the church. In the pews, members of the congregation fan themselves. One white-haired man sits with his eyes closed. At the front of the sanctuary, the minister sits behind a lectern with his hands clasped together. Bright flower arrangements fill the small platform. In the last row, Hoke, Booley, Miss Daisy, and Florine sit together. Booley, portly and gray-haired, slouches in the pew. Beside him, Hoke stares stoically at the choir through thick black glasses, then presses his lips together. Next to Miss Daisy, Florine's teased bob hairdo is now streaked with gray. Now in her kitchen, Miss Daisy fries chicken in a pan. Hoke stands behind her, wiping his hands on a rag.
You're fixing to ruin it.
What you talking about?
Well, you got the chicken too close together there, and the fire's way too high.
Mind your business.
Well, show chicken.
Hoke leaves the kitchen. Glancing over her shoulder at the door, Miss Daisy slides the pan off the burner, then turns down the flame and slides it back. Later, she carries a glass of iced tea to the dining room and sits at the head of the table. Hoke sets her plate down in front of her.
Thank you, Hoke.
Yes, now you enjoy.
Hoke ambles back to the kitchen. Miss Daisy picks up a piece of chicken with her fingers and takes a bite. Eyebrows raised, she nods to herself. Sitting at the kitchen table, Hoke lifts a cover from his dinner plate, then bows his head.
Yeah, man.
He slides a pat of butter onto his rice, then mashes it in with his fork. Daytime. Outside, Miss Daisy kneels in a vegetable garden, wearing a dress, gardening gloves, and a straw hat. She ties a rambling tomato plant to a stake. Behind her, Hoke stoops to pull up a weed. He wears tan trousers, suspenders, and a blue shirt with rolled-up sleeves. His tie dangles as he hoes the small plot. Wintertime. Icicles hang from the eaves, and a steady snow falls. Downtown, dark, spidery tree branches stand out against a white-columned building. At Miss Daisy's house, snow blows in gusts across the yard, blanketing the lawn. Inside, Miss Daisy strikes a match and holds it under the base of a candle. Planting the candle in a dish, she lights it and carries it from the kitchen, clutching a blanket wrapped around her shoulders. The flickering light deepens the shadows around Miss Daisy's eyes. Her hair is pulled back. Wrinkles line her face around her mouth, and her pale lips are drawn down at the corners. Putting the candle down on a table, she settles into an armchair and picks up a National Geographic magazine. Behind her, dim bluish light seeps through the half-open Venetian blinds. She flips through the magazine's pages, then looks up, frowning.
Who is it?
Morning, Miss Daisy.
Oh, Hoke. What in the world?
Hmm? Oh, shoot. I learned how to drive on ice when I was delivering milk for the Avondale Dairy. Ain't nothing to it. These other folks out there banging into each other like they're in the funny papers. I figured your stove was out, so I stopped by the Krispy Kreme. No, you got to have your coffee in the morning.
How sweet of you, Hoke.
Yeah.
He peels off the plastic lid.
Shoot, we ain't had no good coffee around here since our dinner passed.
I can fix her biscuits. And we both know how to make her fried chicken. Mm. But nobody can make Idella's coffee.
Ain't that the truth?
Miss Daisy blows into the cup, then stares at Hulk.
Adela was lucky.
Yes. I expect she was.
Miss Daisy looks away, then slowly raises the cup to her lips. Hulk shakes his head.
Well.
Where are you going?
Just gonna go out here, take these things off.
I don't know what you can do here today, except keep me company.
M.I.C., can I make us a fire?
Eat anything you want out of the icebox. It'll all spoil anyway.
Yeah.
And wipe up what you trapped on the marked floor.
What you think I am? A mess?
Hello?
Well, Mama, I'll be right out after you as soon as I can get down my own driveway.
Stay where you are, Booley. Hulk is here with me.
How the hell did he manage that?
He's very handy. I'm fine. I don't need a thing in the world.
Hello? I must have the wrong number. I never heard Mama say loving things about Hulk before.
I didn't say I love him. I said he was handy.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, Booley, are you trying to irritate me in the middle of an ice storm?
Now, a man in a suit hands Booley an engraved silver bowl.
Thank you, Wilbur. Thank you all. I'm deeply grateful to be chosen as 1966 Man of the Year by the Atlanta Business Council. An honor which I've seen bestowed on some mighty fine fellas, and one which I never expected would come to me. I'm afraid that my loss up here,
his hair,
and my gain down here,
his belly,
have given me an air of competence I don't really possess. But I will tell you that I wish my father and grandfather could see this. About 72 years ago, they leased an old mill up on the Decatur Road with, I believe, 25 looms in operation. They managed to grow along with Atlanta. And to this day, the Worthen Industries believe what we want is what Atlanta wants. And this award, I guess, just proves that we were right. And I thank you.
In the wood panel conference room, 8 men in suits sit at a long table. At the far end of the table, Florine and Daisy flank Booley, who rests his hands on their shoulders. Now in the car, windshield wipers beat back and forth as Miss Daisy stares out at the street, frowning. Hulk, holding an open umbrella, speaks with a policeman. Cars clog the street. Wearing a frilly hat cocked to the side of her head, Miss Daisy glances at her watch as Hulk returns.
Well? What is it? What took you so long?
Oh, I couldn't help it, Miss Daisy. This big mess I've done.
What's the matter? I might as well not go to the temple at all now.
No, you... You ain't gonna be able to go to temple this morning, Miss Daisy.
Why not? What in the world is the matter with you?
Somebody done bombed the temple.
What? Bombed the temple?
Yes. That's how come we stuck here so long.
I don't believe it.
Well, what the policeman just said, I've done.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. What was anybody there? Were people hurt?
I don't know. You didn't say.
Who would do such a thing?
Well, you know good as me, Miss Daisy. Always be the same ones.
Later, the sleek new Cadillac rounds a corner along a rain-soaked street. Hope glances in the rearview mirror at Miss Daisy. 2 deep lines crease her brow between her wide blue eyes. Her red lips are pressed firmly together. She bows her head.
I remember one time back down there in Macon. Oh, I couldn't have been no more than 10 or 11 years old, I reckon. I had this friend named a Porter. One day there, his daddy was hanging in a tree. Now, just the day before, we'd all been pitching horseshoes, see? Him laughing and carrying on. Talking about how me and Porter was gonna have strong right arms, just like him. Lord, there he was, hanging up yonder in the tree. Had his hands tied behind him. Flies was all over. I tell you, I just threw up right there where I was standing.
go on and cry.
She covers her mouth.
I'm not crying. Why did you tell me that story?
Lord, I don't know, Miss Daisy. Just seemed like that air mess back there put me in mind.
That's ridiculous. The temple has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, if you say so.
We don't even know what happened. How do you know that policeman was telling you the truth?
Well, why would he go and lie about a thing like that?
Well, you never get things right anyway.
Now, Miss Daisy, somebody done bummed that temple back down and you know it.
Go on, just go on now. I don't want to hear any more about it.
You the boss.
Don't talk to me.
Glancing in the mirror, Hoke opens his mouth to speak, then fixes his eyes straight ahead. Now at Miss Daisy's house, Bully lets himself in the kitchen door. Taking off his hat, he crosses the kitchen and makes his way into the dimly lit hall.
Mama? Where are you?
Up here.
Afternoon sun fills the stairwell. In her bedroom, Miss Daisy sits in an armchair with her feet up on an ottoman and reads a book.
Hello, Mama. How you feeling?
Not a good question to ask somebody nearly 90.
Well, you look fine.
It's my ageless appeal.
Miss McClatchy gave me a message.
Florine is invited, too.
Thank you.
I guess Hoke should drive us. There'll be a crowd.
Mama, we have to talk about this.
Talk about what?
About the feasibility of all this. Now, you know I believe Martin Luther King has done some mighty fine things.
Bully, if you don't want to go, why don't you just come right out and say so?
I want to go. You know how I feel about him.
Of course, but Florine.
Florine has nothing to do with it. I still have to conduct business in this town.
I see. Worth and Bag will go out of business if you attend the King dinner.
Not exactly. But a lot of men I do business with wouldn't like it. They might snicker a little and call me Martin Luther Worthen behind my back. Maybe I wouldn't hear about certain lunch meetings at the Commerce Club. And old Jack Raphael at Ideal Mills, you know, he's a New York Jew instead of a Georgia Jew. And all the really smart ones come from New York, don't they? Some of the boys might start throwing their business to Jack instead of to old Martin Luther Worthen. I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't happen. And sometimes that's the way things work. Anyway, we don't use those seats. Somebody else will.
If we don't use those seats, I'm not supposed to go either.
Well, Mama, you can do whatever you want. Oh,
thanks for your permission.
Can I ask you something? When did you get so fired up about Martin Luther King? Time was, I'd have heard a different story.
Why, Bully, I've never been prejudiced in my life, and you know it.
Okay. Well, why don't you ask Hoke to go with you?
Hoke? Don't be ridiculous. He wouldn't go.
Ask him and see.
She raises her chin and meets Bully's gaze. Nighttime. At the kitchen table, Hoke runs his finger along the lines in the newspaper. He wears a dark suit and tie. Miss Daisy, in a dark dress and mink stole, turns out the hall light.
All right.
Yes.
Pushing himself up from the table, Hoke picks up his cap and follows Miss Daisy to the door. Outside, he holds an umbrella over their heads as he ushers her to the silvery blue car. Later, they drive down a main street past a department store with large display windows outlined in red neon. Reflections of taillights and signs glimmer in the wet street. In the car, Hoke holds the wheel steady, his brow bunched together. In the back seat, Miss Daisy eyes him with a growing smile.
Bully said the silliest thing the other day.
Smiling, Hoke glances at her in the mirror.
Well, what did he say?
Well, he was talking about Martin Luther King.
Oh, yeah.
I guess you know him, don't you?
Martin Luther King? No, I don't know.
Well, I was sure you did. Mm-hmm. But you've heard him preach.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Same way you have, though, you know, on the TV.
I think he's wonderful.
Yes.
Miss Daisy watches Hoke expectantly. He frowns.
Well, what you getting at, Miss Daisy?
Well, it's a silly. Booley said you wanted to go with me to this dinner. Did you tell him that?
No, I didn't.
I didn't think so. What'd be the point? You can hear him whenever you want. I think it's wonderful the way things are changing.
She holds up her chin. They pull into a circular driveway in front of a stately building. A valet in uniform directs cars as people in formal dress walk to the red-carpeted entrance. Shifting the car into park, Hope turns to face Miss Daisy.
Now, what you think I am, Miss Daisy?
What do you mean?
Invitation to this here dinner coming the mail a month ago. Now, did be you wanted me to go with you, how come you wait till we in the car and on the way before we ask me?
What? All I said was Booley said you wanted to go.
Well, next time you want me to go somewhere, you ask me regular.
You don't have to carry on so much.
Well, let's just leave it alone.
Obviously.
Hoke shuts his door and walks around the front of the car.
Talk about things change. They ain't change all that much.
Before he can reach Miss Daisy's door, she opens it. A group of reporters rushes by. Miss Daisy slams the door.
Well, I'll help you to the door.
Thank you, Hope. I can help myself.
Her head held high and mouth firmly set, Miss Daisy walks to the door.
Can see that the South has marvelous possibilities.
Hope watches her with a heavy gaze. Inside.
Segregation has placed the whole South socially, educationally, and economically behind the rest of the nation. Yet there are in the white South millions of people of goodwill whose voices are yet unheard. Whose course is
Miss Daisy glances unclear, at the empty seat beside her. Outside, Hope listens to the car radio.
These millions are called upon to gird their courage to speak out, to offer leadership that is needed. History will have to record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition
inside
was not the vitriolic words and the violent actions of the bad people, but the appalling silence and indifference of the good people. Our generation will have to repent not only for the words and acts of the children of darkness, but also for the fears and apathy of the children of light.
Springtime. Outside Miss Daisy's house, white blossoms cover a dogwood tree, and a bright azalea bush stands in the middle of the ivy that sprawls across the lawn. Hope, in the blue Cadillac, turns in the driveway and parks behind the house. The rear end of an even newer white Cadillac sticks out of the garage. Hope, his hair silver beneath his hat, ambles slowly to the back door carrying a newspaper and lets himself in.
Morning, Miss Daisy!
Hope wears a sweater vest beneath his gray suit, and the lenses of his horn-rimmed glasses are now much thicker. He pauses in the sunlit kitchen. He shakes his head and hobbles into the house. Setting his hat down with the newspaper, he continues into the dining room, then peeks around the corner into the empty parlor. His brow wrinkling quizzically, he takes a few steps toward the hallway.
Miss Daisy?
Bedraggled, Miss Daisy scuttles down the stairs.
Hoke, is that Hoke?
Yes, Miss Me. Oh,
Hoke.
You all right?
Hoke.
Yes.
What did you do with my papers?
What papers?
My papers. I had them all corrected last night, and I put them out in front so I wouldn't forget them on my way to school. Now, what did you do with them?
School? What are you talking about?
The children will be so disappointed if I don't give them their homework back. I always get it back the next day. That's why they like me.
Oh, you're talking out your head.
Why aren't you helping me?
All right. What you want me to do?
Find those papers, I told you.
She rifles through a desk.
It's all right if you move them. I won't be mad at you. But I've got to get to school now. I'll be late. Who will take care of my class?
Hoke starts to reach out to her.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I do everything wrong.
Oh, come on, now, sit down here. Don't you fall down and hurt yourself.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's all my fault. I didn't do right. I... It's so awful.
Well,
No,
I ain't nothing awful except the way you carrying on him.
I'm so sorry, it's all my fault. I can't find the papers. The children are waiting.
No, ain't nobody waiting on you. You ain't no teacher no more.
It doesn't make any difference.
Miss Daisy, now listen, ain't nothing wrong with you, you hear me?
You don't know.
Miss Daisy.
Wearing a half-buttoned robe over a slip, she wanders down the hallway. Her thin hair hangs loosely over her shoulders. Hope picks up the phone.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Worthing?
This Hope, Kim.
Hope, what can I do for you this morning?
It's your mama, sir.
What's the matter?
Oh, she taking on something else.
Children.
Oh, why should today be different from any other day?
No, sir, it ain't the same.
I'll be right there.
On the landing of the stairs, Miss Daisy gazes out the window.
Miss Daisy, now, ain't nothing wrong with you. Your mind done took a turn this morning, that's all. You gonna snap right back quick as you let yourself.
I can't.
She stumbles upstairs.
You a lucky old woman, you know that?
No. It's all a mess now. I can't do anything about it.
Oh, now, look at you. Here, you rich. You well for your time. You got folks to care about what happened to you?
I'd be in trouble. Oh, God, I don't want to be troubled anybody.
You want something to cry about. I'm going to run you out yonder to that state home. Let you see what's laying around out there in the house.
Oh, Lord.
And I bet ain't now one of them carrying on the way you doing here.
I'm so sorry. Oh, that was poor children.
All right, now, you keep this up now, and Mr. Worthing's going to call that doctor on you. And just as sure as you bone, that doctor going to have you out yonder in that insane asylum before you know what hit you. Now, that's the way you want it to be.
Sitting on a chair in a corner, she gazes up at him wide-eyed.
Hulk?
Yes?
Do you still have that Hudson?
You talking about from when I first come here? Oh. No, Miss Daisy. No, that thing been in the junkyard now more than 15 years. No, I'm driving your next to last car now. 1965 Cadillac. Running fine as wine, too.
You ought not to be driving anything the way you see.
Oh, nah. Now you know how I can see, less than you can look out my eyes.
He smiles. She looks up at him.
Hulk?
Yes.
You're my best friend.
Oh, go on now, Miss Daisy. You
really? Didn't. You are.
Slowly, she reaches out and slips her hand into his.
You are.
They gaze at each other, then Hope gives a gentle nod.
Yes.
Still holding his hand, Miss Daisy sighs and looks away. Hope bows his head. Now, outside the house, a sign stands in the ivy. Harry Norman Realtors. Inside, light falls across the carpeted stairway. In the dining room, the crystal chandelier hangs over the long, polished table. Beyond, the swinging door to the kitchen is propped open. An old icebox with hinged double doors stands on the black and white checkerboard floor. In the living room, white doilies protect the back of the couch. In the hall, the fifth grade class in antique dress stares out from the picture frame. And in another photo, a little girl with a bow in her hair stares pensively. Outside, a jogger wearing a sweatshirt and nylon shorts crosses the end of the driveway just before a car turns in. Hoke sits in the passenger's seat, his brown eyes magnified by his thick glasses. On the side of the driveway, the realtor's sign reads, "Sold." Hoke eyes the house as they drive to the back and park beside a shiny gray Mercedes. An attractive young woman with her hair in an afro shifts the car into park, then nods to Hoke before he climbs out. Inside, he walks stiff-legged down the hallway toward the living room, now completely bare.
Mr. Worthing?
Hey, Hope, good to see you.
Yes, sir.
They shake.
You didn't drive yourself out here?
Oh, no, sir. I don't drive no more.
My granddaughter. She run me out.
My Lord, is she old enough to drive already?
No. Michelle's right around 37 years old now.
Come on.
Oh, yes, sir. She's teaching biology at Johnny Spelman College.
I never knew that.
Oh, yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Booley looks around the room.
Seems mighty funny to sell the house while Mama's still alive.
Yes, not married to do.
Of course, she hadn't been inside the door for nearly 2 years now.
Mm-hmm, I know.
Suppose you don't get out to see her too much anymore, huh?
No, sir, I don't. Well, it's hard not driving, Miss Worthing, you know, and ain't no bus that goes out, Johnny. Mm-hmm. Of course, I take the taxi cab as often as I can.
I'm sure she appreciates it.
Oh, yes. Some days she's better than others, you know. But then, who ain't? Hmm? Yes.
Later, in Booley's car, Hoke sits with his hands on his knees. He wears a tweedy brown suit and a bow tie. Booley wears a three-piece suit and glasses with wide gold frames. Now at a building with a grand entrance flanked by columns, a nurse walks toward two white-haired ladies sitting on the terrace. Inside, Hoke follows Booley, who carries a small bouquet of flowers.
How y'all doing?
Hello.
A woman wearing a white coat smiles at them as they enter a dining room decorated with a Happy Thanksgiving banner. Booley stops and smiles. In front of them, Miss Daisy takes small, halting steps with a walker.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mama. Look who I brought.
She looks vacantly at them.
Morning, Miss Daisy. You've been keeping yourself busy?
She certainly has. She goes to jewelry making. How many times a week? She makes all kinds of things. Pins, bracelets.
Is that right?
She's a regular Tiffany's.
Ain't that something?
She takes a seat at a table and Hoke pushes in her chair.
All right, Mama.
She stares at the table, her thin hair loose and white. A tray of food sits in front of her.
Hoke, I thought of you the other morning on the expressway.
Yes?
I saw an Avondale milk truck.
Is that right?
Yeah, big monster of a thing. Must have had about 16 wheels.
A long way from here, sir.
Yeah, I wondered how you might like driving that thing around.
Miss Daisy looks up.
Hoke came to see me, not you.
Mm. Looked like one of her good days.
Mama Florine asked me to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. She's in Washington, you know. Remember, Mama, she's a Republican National Committee woman now.
Good God.
Hoke and Booley exchange a smiling glance. Booley starts to sit.
Booley, go charm the nurses.
She wants you all to herself. You're a doodle, Mama.
He bends down and kisses her on the top of her head. She shuts her eyes. Booley, resting his hands on his hips, regards Hoke with a warm smile, then leaves. Hoke sets his hat down on the table, then sits beside Miss Daisy. She turns to face him.
Booley paying you still?
Give a week.
How much?
That's between him and me.
Highway robbery.
Yes. It sure is.
Miss Daisy begins to nod off, then fixes her eyes on Hoke.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing the best I can.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, I reckon that's about all there is to it then, ain't it?
Hoke tilts his head to the side and a dimple forms in his smile. Miss Daisy nods, then her gaze drifts away.
Oh, look here. You didn't eat your Thanksgiving pie, huh?
He moves the plate toward her on the tray. Her fingers jitter loosely over the fork.
Let me have it. I got it.
She watches as Hoke takes the fork and puts a morsel of pumpkin pie on the end. She watches his hand as he slowly lifts the piece to her open mouth. Chewing, she glances at Hoke with a delighted smile.
Good.
Hoke grins back, then puts another piece on the fork. She leans forward, watching the fork near her mouth, then closes her lips around the piece of pie. Shutting her eyes, she savors the bite, then smiles again at Hoke. Swallowing, she gives him a nod, and he readies another bite. In the background, an image of the old black Cadillac disappears down a rolling two-lane highway. Fade to black. This film has been described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Christina Faust. Read by Rena Baskin. Major funding for DVS is provided by the United States Department of Education. For more information about DVS, call toll-free 1-800-333-1203 or write to our email address, dvs@wgbh.org. Additional opening titles, costume designer Elizabeth McBride, edited by Mark Warner, production designer Bruno Rubio, director of photography Peter James, ACS. Credits roll. Co-executive producer, Jake Eberts. Associate producers, Robert Dudell and Alfred Uri. Unit production manager, Robert Dudell. First assistant director, Catterly Frauenfelder. Second assistant director, Martha Elkin. Art director, Victor Kempster. Set decorator, Crispian Salas. Post-production supervisor, Russell Paris. Music editor, Laura Perlman. Camera operator, Eric Rowland. Script supervisor, Annette Haywood Carter. Our gratitude to Fulton Supply Company, Atlanta, Georgia, for factory location, Darlin's Restaurant, Outdoor Today, Incorporated, and Irving Vendig, creator-writer of The Edge of Night. Cast, Morgan Freeman as Hoke Colburn, Jessica Tandy as Daisy Worthen, Dan Aykroyd as Booley Worthen, Patty LuPone as Florine Worthen, Esther Roll as Idella, Joanne Havrilla as Miss McClatchy, William Hall Jr. as Oscar, Alvin M. Sugarman as Dr. Weil, Clarice F. Geigerman as Noni, Muriel Moore as Miriam, Sylvia Kaler as Beulah, Carolyn Gold as Neighbor Lady, Crystal R. Fox as Katie Bell, Bob Hanna as Red Mitchell, Ray McKinnon as Trooper Number 1, Ashley Josie as Trooper Number 2, Jack Russo as Slick, Fred Fazer as Insurance Agent, Indra A. Thomas as Soloist, Stunt Double Danny Mabry. Additional voices, Royce Applegate, June Christopher, Lee French, Archie Hahn, Eugene Lee, Felton Perry, Ruth Silvera, Gregory Snegoff, Lynn Stewart, and Arnold Turner. Stand-ins, Letha Perkins, Leon Watkins, B.J. Hughes, Colleen Hess, Lois Middlebrooks. Driving Miss Daisy was first produced off-Broadway by Playwrights Horizons, New York City, in 1987. It was subsequently produced by the Daisy Company in association with Playwrights Horizons off-Broadway in 1987. Original soundtrack album on Varese Sarabande CDs and cassettes. Copyright 1989, Warner Brothers Incorporated. Driving Miss Daisy. A red streak crosses the screen, forming a Z. The tail stretches out over the words, The Zanuck Company. Distributed by Warner Brothers, a Warner Communications company.